right now. You just heard the legendary voice, voice of the Giants, the very own Bob Papa on the Fan. What's up, Bob?
Keith, nice to finally talk to you, man. How are you?
Good, good. I've been following you on Twitter. We interact there, and I was doing this Thursday night football show with football coming back, the Hall of Fame game, and I'm like, let me reach out to Bob to see if he'd be nice enough to join me tonight, and here you are.
I love your Yankees passion, though, man. It's so good. It's so good.
It's good and bad. It's good and bad. It gets me in trouble. It also takes me down a rabbit hole of, like, despair and depression. But you know what? If the Yankees win, I will have tears of joy. I will be at every party. I'll be at the entire parade. It'll happen. It'll happen sooner rather than later, I feel.
Well, I mean, you just think about how miserable it's been for the last 2 months. And just hearing on the update that the Orioles are getting beaten right now and, you know, the Yankees are going to be tied for first. I mean, so it feels like things have settled down a little bit.
Good.
Thank God.
Good. Very, very good. I mean, but also looking at the Cleveland Guardians, we're like, hey, maybe they'll be a problem. I don't know. I don't fear Cleveland, but yeah. So let's talk about your fandom. I'm assuming you're a Yankees fan, Giants fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, Keith, my entire family is from the Bronx, growing up a couple of blocks away from Yankee Stadium. And so it was like part of our lifeline. My grandfather worked in the Bronx County Courthouse as the head maintenance guy. I remember the old Yankee Stadium. You could actually see in the stadium. Sometimes he'd take me on the roof at lunchtime, and we could actually watch a game from up there.
Wow.
So we go way back with the Yankees. And, you know, having worked in other sports, the Yankees and the Rangers are the two teams that I can keep my fandom with. So I watch games just like you and everybody else, like screaming at the TV.
Yeah, you know, hopefully more screaming for good. The Rangers had a good run. Let's keep our fingers crossed and all the good vibes that the Yankees will get to where they got to go this year. I'm excited for them to come back, but I'm also excited for football to start. I leaned into it today. You know, I played football growing up. Football is how I went to college, how I got my education. Going to college is where I decided to major in radio and television. So ultimately, football was the vehicle that got me here. And with football being back tonight, I'm just excited for the NFL. But something I mentioned, Bob, as we're looking at these new kickoff rules and how I'm already looking at, you know, a 10-17 score, I just feel like the rules are catered for the offense to succeed, which makes sense, right? There's fantasy football, there's gambling, you need points to be scored. But I feel like, similar to baseball, the game is changing forever, where the traditionalists, like the days of the football that we used to know, smash mouth football and knocking guys out, and I think we're going to be moving further and further away from that. I think these are the last of days before we even see, like, in a decade or two decades, more like two-hand touch flag football. What do you say about that?
I don't know if we'll ever get that bad, but yeah, I mean, listen, player safety is something that's important to the league. And remember, they had that big lawsuit that they dealt with about 15 years ago from retired players because it was really bad the other way. I mean, I was watching something. There's a Twitter account out there or something like Super Sports of the 70s. And they showed like the open to like a pregame show from that. And every single highlight that they showed would have been a penalty in today's NFL. Like,
or at least a fine.
Yeah, and a penalty, and maybe even a suspension.
Yep.
I mean, listen, here's the one thing I'll say about it. As someone that's traveled with the team, when you go into the locker room after the game and you're getting ready to get your bag, to get to the bus, to get on the team charter back home, and you walk through that training room, trust me, it's still an unbelievably physical game.
Yeah.
There's a ton of guys in there. There's guys with ice bags everywhere getting on the plane. There's guys limping all over the place. The amazing thing is that half those guys wind up not even being on the injury report the next week. So as much as people want to say it's gotten soft, trust me, it's still extremely physical what they're doing out there.
Oh, no, I mean, I know it's a rough-ass game. I only played in the college, and part of the reason I stopped playing, I was like, I used to hate walking around campus bruised and battered and sore, and just like, it's just a lot to go through life in pain. And like you said, with these guys, man, they go and they ice up and they get in the cold tub and they do their rehab and their stim, whatever, and they're ready to go. And, I mean, the NFL, we talk about player safety. The NFL has Thursday night football. The NFL is now doing these Christmas games. I really do believe in the future we see an 18-week season. I do believe that we see the Super Bowl end up being on President's Day weekend where you have the Monday off. Like, I don't think the NFL is going to stop because the NFL is king. It's a cash cow. And as much as they do preach player safety, the almighty dollar is what they're out to get. What do you think about the expansion of the season and all the streaming and, I mean, just the NFL greed? I think they're out to get every dollar, and it's not going to stop.
Well, yeah, and it's unlike the other sports, right? Think about the turnover that exists in the NFL for all 32 teams. So when a collective bargaining agreement comes up and you got players that are saying to themselves, oh, they want to increase my benefits. They want to increase my pension. They want to give me longer insurance. They want to give me medical and all kinds of other things. I'm not going to last 15 years. Heck, I'll give up that in order to get more money in my pocket now, because the NFL stands for not for long.
Yep.
So as the money keeps pouring in, the player money keeps going up. And if they go to 18 games and they, you know, everything else that they keep adding and playing on all these other days, and they get streaming services to pay $200 million for one game, well, guess what? A percentage of that goes into the player's pocket. So nobody's going to say no to the money when it comes to that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I don't hate it either, because I watch all these games, and unlike some of the other sports, like I said, I love baseball, but I love Yankees baseball. I watch all the Yankees games. I don't watch a random Angels game for fun, but like, I will watch every Thursday night football game, every Sunday night football game, every Monday night football game. They can have the Black Friday game. They can have the Christmas game. They got me. I'm watching, and I know all the players, and I play fantasy football, and I'm putting together parlays, and like, I'm not alone. Like, the NFL is, I think, the one sport in this country where it's not so regional. It's national. We know, you know, you might not know who's coming out of the bullpen for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you can name some offensive linemen on pretty much every team.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Because, look, I'm the same way. I mean, once the Yankees are eliminated, I mean, there's been years where I don't watch a second of the remaining of the postseason. And in hockey, I may, you know, I watched the finals this year only because the Rangers had lost to Florida, and I kind of thought Florida was the best team. So I watched a little bit of it. But if you're an NFL fan of your favorite team, you are not missing playoff games. You are watching every postseason right. game. Same thing goes with the NBA. You know, if you're a fan of the Knicks or whatever, once they get eliminated, you're not sitting around watching the rest of the NBA playoffs. It's the only sport, and I think you hit on all the tenets. Look, baseball has always been known as America's pastime. Football, in the last 30 years, has become America's passion, and that's why their revenues and ratings and everything else blow away. And you take all the other sports and you combine it, and it doesn't match the NFL.
The NFL is king. Now, you know, we talked about injuries, and we talked about how everybody watches nationally. Everybody just watched Hard Knocks. And what I've said is, this is the best version of Hard Knocks. Why didn't they think of this sooner? Why didn't they think of doing the offseason, the Giants being first? I'm like, great for the Giants fans to get a look inside of their team, especially in an offseason where Daniel Jones is rehabbing and they have to make a big decision on the face of the franchise, Saquon Barkley. I'm sure you watched Hard Knocks. I loved it. What did you think about it?
Well, as someone who's been on the inside for at least 30 years and even longer, I learned stuff. There were things that I learned and how they go about their free agency board and their player evaluation. And then the interviews with the college kids. Like, there was that one scene where I think it was Jaden Daniels. He was talking about a play, and then Dable kind of asked him like a personal question. And he started to give the answer, and then Dable immediately went back at him and said, hey, what's that play if this is the thing? Draw it for him. Like, you know, trying to trip him up. And sort of the intensity and the angst that you kind of felt from Joe Shane and the Giants when it first started, the Hard Knocks about, you know, how kind of shell-shocked they were with how bad last season went, and then the pressure to improve this football team, and then the whole draft process and the draft and the interactions within. Like, that's a place that none of us have ever been allowed to be.
Right.
So I thought it was absolutely fascinating. I thought it was great. I look forward to next year's version with, I'm sure, a different team in the NFL. But the off season has always been the part of the mystery part of the year, right? And now we got a window into kind of what the rhythm and the cadence of is an off season with a front office, and you know all the things that go on during the course of that off season to try to build a team that can be competitive for the following year.
Yeah, I think we always say, man, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall during this transaction or these conversations or during the NFL draft or, you know, how they came to this conclusion on a player or drafting a player or not signing a player. And that's what we were. I mean, I think the Giants obviously had a lot of it produced by HBO and some things for the cameras, but I think they were very transparent. And for Giants fans, I think you needed that closure specifically with Saquon Barkley. And I think now that you have that, it definitely just closes the door on everything and how it went down. And I know Saquon, I just listened to him do the Scoop City podcast with Diana Russini. It is what it is. It's done. It's in the past. I heard Tiki Barber talking about it today. He's like, it's not relevant to us anymore. It'll be relevant when the Giants face the Eagles. But, you know, people made so much about the conversation, the phone call, all this, that, and the other. I thought it was great theater.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it goes all the way back to the bye week of 2022 when the Giants made a very significant offer and Barkley turned it down, and then, you know, back and forth they went, and he had his mindset on a certain number. Shane, you could just see by his body language, there was only so far he was going to go. And, you know, the point that I've made to a lot of people, if you think about the last quarter of a century, other than the 2000 Ravens with Jamal Lewis as the rookie running back and then Marshawn Lynch with Seattle, what team has really won a Super Bowl with a highly paid frontline number one option running back? It's very look, the Giants have two trophies in their lobby, and it was done with a committee of Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, and Derek Ward or whomever. And look, Kansas City did it with a seventh round pick and Isaiah Pacheco, and Brady had a zillion different running backs.
Yep.
And Roethlisberger had other running backs, and Peyton Manning had Joseph Addai, and I can't remember who the other guy was, but I mean, and do you remember Aaron Rodgers' quarterback and the one Super Bowl that he won? So it's been more of a position that you don't allocate a high draft pick to, and you don't necessarily spend a lot of money on. You do it with a collaboration of backs. And last time I checked, Ezekiel Elliott, as great as he's been, hasn't sniffed a Super Bowl. I never saw Adrian Peterson get to a Super Bowl. So there's a lot of guys of that ilk, and I think it's the by committee thing that's the thing that works in today's league with the passing game the way it is and the game shifting to more of a passing game.
Yeah, I think the Giants, they did what they had to do. You're 100% correct. I had a chart of the last like 15 Super Bowl winners and their leading rusher and what they were paid, and none of them were high-paid running backs. It is not the formula for success. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, you know, the stupid Dallas Cowboys. They're paying him to come back, and they're paying the dead cap from the contract that Jerry Jones gave him in 2018. He gave him 6 years, $90 million. With Tony Pollard, and just like, it's a mistake to pay these running backs. It's also a mistake to draft a running back that high. They drafted Ezekiel Elliott 4. Obviously, Saquon Barkley was drafted 2. But Joe Shane and Brian Daboll didn't draft him. And so I think what you saw in Hard Knocks, which I was telling the Giants fans, is, listen, if the identity of the offense and the team was Saquon Barkley as the captain, as the workhorse, it is no more. The identity of the team is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And now this year, they're literally turning the reins over for sure to Daniel Jones. So let's talk Daniel Jones a bit. Like, Daniel Jones has a better offensive line. When you look at Van Rotten and Illuminor and the Raiders offensive line coach coming over, I call him John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Runyon.
Yeah, Runyon.
And then, obviously, Andrew Thomas, like, on paper, you think that they should have a pretty good offensive line in front of Daniel Jones. Dare I say the best offensive line he's played behind. We'll see how it goes. But then also, like, they've given him an all-SEC team at wide receiver with Malik Nabers out of LSU, Jalen Hyatt out of Tennessee, Wandale Robinson out of Kentucky, Darius Slayton out of Auburn. Okay, all those guys can go. All those guys are good receivers that can make plays. They can go, and not for nothing, Motor, he's got a motor. He can go too. Devin Singletary, and we'll see what Tyrone Tracy and whoever else is. Like, I look at Daniel Jones as a guy that I root for because he's had to overcome so much, and now I think this is his biggest test yet. He's coming back from the ACL injury. He may have to alter his running game a little bit and not take as many hits, not tuck and run it as much. But you have the offensive line. You have the receivers. You got to read the defense. You got to make the throws. And this season, it's all on his shoulders to lead the offense and lead the team and be the quarterback that they just paid him to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no more excuses at this point. And I know I've always been a Daniel Jones fan. Like, his rookie season in the 12 games that he played or whatever, I mean, he did throw 24 touchdowns with 12 interceptions. I mean, it was pretty darn good. And but he's got to, based on all those factors that you've laid out accurately, and even some of the guys that played on the O-line last year have now moved back on the depth chart a little bit. It's deeper. It's definitely more accomplished. You know, it's not the best offensive line in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, listen, if they can be mid-range, that's all you really need. I think people are sleeping on Devin Singletary as far as what he brings to the table and not understanding how well he fits into what Dable wants to do from a schematic standpoint. And suddenly Darius Slayton, who was your go-to guy, is not your go-to guy anymore. He's your number two, which is what he probably really has always been. He's a nice number two. Nabers is the real deal. And I think Jalen Hyatt has looked like a more mature player this year. You know, he's got a year of offseason under his belt, a year in the weight room, a year studying film. Seems a little bit more relaxed out there. And it's all set up for Jones to either put up or shut up. Now, I know there's a lot of Daniel Jones haters out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's an adage in the NFL, right? You got it's the three P's. Bucky Brooks always talks about it. You got to have the right play caller. You have to have protection, and you have to have a playmaker, right? And Daniel Jones has been through a revolving door. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. I think we can all agree on that because he wins at the highest level. He's doing things like Brady. But if you look at all these quarterbacks, whether it's Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, go through the list of Drew Brees, just keep going down to all the guys that have had tremendous success. You know, it really helps when you don't have three offensive coaches in your first 5 years or first 6 years. You have four or five different offensive coordinators, and the other important thing is you don't have six offensive line coaches. There's no quarterbacks have ever had success under that scenario, and I point to Alex Smith, who was drafted number one overall by the Niners. He went through a revolving door, and things stabilized for him when John Harbaugh got there, and he took him to an NFC championship game. They felt Kaepernick would be an upgrade, and then he went to Kansas City and blossomed under Andy Reid because of continuity. You can't expect a quarterback to have that kind of upheaval on a year-to-year basis and expect to be productive in his formative years. Now, with that said, he's got to play better. Can't make any excuses because now he's got 3 years, same system, better O-line, and now he's got that playmaking wide receiver that every team has. And now it's on his shoulders, and I think he's relishing the opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong.
We're on the phone right now with Bob Papa. If you don't recognize the voice, the radio play-by-play guy for the New York Giants, he's great. He's a big Yankee fan as well, but we're going to continue to talk Giants. I'm not going to take your whole night up, but, you know, I got to talk defense with you now. You know, the addition of Brian Burns, I mean, I just think this guy can be dominant. I think that he can help Dexter Lawrence, as well as Kayvon. I think that the defensive unit now with Shane Bowen, the Giants' defense is going to look different. The Giants' defense, I'm very interested to see, because the linebackers were already, you know, played like some of the best in the league last year. The secondary, you're still a little bit worried about, but if you get after them up front, it makes it easier for the guys in the secondary. Tiki Barber always says you got to build the ass. And when you build the ass, that's the trenches. That's the offensive line, defensive line. It's so important to start there. And that's what I see them doing when they decide to move on from a Saquon Barkley. And I think the future is bright, whether it's Daniel Jones at quarterback or not. But this defense, I think, right away, when I look at the NFC East, I think this defense is going to be able to play right away because of their guys up front. What do you expect to see out of Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau?
Well, first of all, I think Kayvon will become a more consistent player because you got Brian Burns on the other side, who's got, what, 45 sacks in his first 5 years in the league?
Yeah, he's like that.
He's a consistent producer. So I think they make each other better because you can't just focus on one guy. You know, like when Azeez Ojulari was healthy, the Giants had that on both sides, but unfortunately for Azeez, who I still like as a player, just could never stay on the field. So now you got Burns and you got Thibodeau on the end. You got Dexter in the middle and Nunez Roches, and they'll find the next guy to go in there and take that spot from A'shaun Robinson. I like the backers. Look, there is a legitimate question at the cornerback spot opposite of Tay Banks, right? Cordell Slott is going to get an opportunity. I think a lot of people like what they see out of Drew Phillips and what he can do in the slot. They got some veteran guys in there. But look, they got some big shoes to fill at safety with Xavier McKinney gone. I know that Tyler Newbin's coming back from an injury, and he was very impressive before he got nicked up. So it's young. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line here during camp, they wind up adding some kind of veteran corner to the mix. And there'll be a veteran corner that's available as we go deeper into training camp, whether it's one on the street or whether it's one that gets cut by a team because they just want to go younger. So I think that's an area that when you look at the Giants, you say to yourself, okay, that's kind of a question mark going in, but if they can get to the quarterback successfully, it does help things on the back end.
Bob, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate you taking out the time. Appreciate you interacting with me on Twitter during Yankees games. I look forward to hearing you call the Giants games. We're this close to another NFL season.
All right. I can't wait. First preseason games a week from tonight at MetLife against the Lions, and kind of fired up and ready to go for that and getting ready for this big weekend series, this 9-game homestand with the Yanks. Hopefully Gleyber Torres doesn't boot any more routine grounders.
Yeah, enough of that with Gleyber Torres. Bob, you're the man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, Keith.
888-808-1019. Okay, we're halfway through my 5-hour KM to AM. The rest of the night I'll be taking your calls on the New York Giants, the New York Yankees, the New York Mets. We'll definitely sprinkle in some conversation around Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. All night we've been talking about football movies. I actually got to clear something up. I got a text from Steve Fortunato. Shout out to Forge, Bernie Williams, manager. I'll see you guys Saturday at the Millbrook Wine event. If you guys want to go to Bernie Williams Wine event, the band will be playing. We'll be drinking some wine. Go to millbrookwine.com and get tickets for Saturday upstate. But I made a mistake. I haven't seen these movies, right? These Tom Cruise movies. I made a mix-up. So Steve texts me. He goes, no, wrong movie. That's Risky Business with Tom Cruise where he dances. But All the Right Moves is a good football movie. I thought those were the same movie. I don't know. I wasn't watching 80s movies in the 80s. I can tell you something about the late 90s and beyond. Forgive me. 888-808-1019. We got to take another break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back after this. Let's do it. KM to AM. We are halfway through. We're on the other side. So technically, this is the third quarter. And we're taking your calls, 888-808-1019. Thanks to Bob Papa for joining me. You know, I just appreciate the guy. I've obviously heard his calls for years calling the Giants game. But, you know, I followed him on Twitter. He followed me back. And, like, he started off the call. He's like, you know, your passion for the Yankees is great. And he's a Yankee fan. So, you know, he'll see me live tweeting the game. He'll see me putting out tweets from Yankee Stadium, and he interacts with me on Twitter. So I was waiting for the right opportunity to bring him in, and there it was. And, I mean, Giants fans got to be excited for the season. Jets fans got to be excited for the season as well. I just saw a signing. Let me look back into my notes where I clipped this. Trace Willing, and if I'm correct, Trace Willing is a cornerback. Or, no, he's a linebacker, excuse me. Trace Willing. The Jets are signing linebacker Trace Willing. He's 25 years old. He wound up going undrafted out of Georgia Tech in 2022. But he is most recognized for the fight that he had with George Pickens in the Georgia versus Georgia Tech rivalry. Him and George Pickens went at it. They pretty much were brawling for like a minute in the end zone. But yeah. A one-year deal for the New York Jets, so the Jets add a linebacker. He's 6'1", 196, and he's got a little bit of dog in him going at George Pickens. I mean, George Pickens fighting. I just was talking about how all I'm seeing out of Steelers camp is these guys fighting. What else? This morning I got on the treadmill looking for some NFL stuff, and again, I'm like, all we hear out of camp is just too much about practice. Practice, not the game, practice. The first thing I saw, I get on the treadmill, I click on YouTube, I search NFL, and Brock Purdy throws 4 interceptions in practice. Who cares? There's a whole story about that. They probably talked about it on Good Morning Football. I think First Things First broke it down. It's practice. We shouldn't even be able to see practice. And if he's throwing 4 interceptions in practice, so be it. That's where you want him throwing those interceptions at. Not in the game. You want him to get that out of his system now. 888-808-1019. I know you guys want to talk football movies. We'll do that, and Yankees will do that. But I'm still mixing in some of my football notes that I had from today. Zach Wilson. Remember Zach Wilson? Before Aaron Rodgers was a song that doesn't end, it was Zach Wilson. I swear, this radio station could not stop talking about Zach Wilson. Well, there was a report that the Broncos skipped Zach Wilson's turn with the starters yesterday, as it seems like he may have already been demoted to third-string quarterback. Wilson has struggled recently, including when he threw a ball away on a free play. I saw that on ML Football, and I clipped it, and I'm like, I used to get on air and talk about Zach Wilson stoning plays, killing plays for no reason. It used to drive me insane. You're the quarterback, right? So he talked about, you know, he's struggling. He threw the ball away on a free play. This guy, I've never seen an NFL quarterback so quick to give up on himself and the play. First off, you're the quarterback. You can run to get positive yards. I've never seen a guy just go through his reads and just abort the mission, throw the ball away so fast. Most of these quarterbacks try to extend the play to the point where they can make a play. That's how Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year, holding the ball too long. Zach Wilson is the first quarterback in NFL history to quit on himself and quit on a play so many times. There was a play he had against the Buffalo Bills where the defender turned his back to him and ran away from him, and he still threw the ball into the turf. I'm like, what are you doing? I can't imagine how frustrated you got to be in film with a guy like that. Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, do not sleep on the Buffalo Bills. I remember hearing Jets fans say, oh, Stephon Diggs is out of the division. He's away from the Bills. Like, who's Josh Allen going to throw the ball to? Mac Hollins and Keon Coleman. And the Buffalo Bills, yeah, they lost some guys. They lost some of their key guys, right? Some of the names that you've seen for years over there are no longer there. Stephon Diggs, I mentioned. Gabe Davis, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer. But now it's really Josh Allen and Joe Brady's show. McDermott, I guess, is just going to be the coach for however long it takes for them to get to a Super Bowl. But, man, I look at the Bills like they're still a threat. And Josh Allen is a beast when it comes to being in the red zone. So do not sleep on the Bills, Jets fans, as if you're just going to beat them again. I mean, we know what happened week 1 last year, but I think they're going to be out for vengeance. Is Von Miller still any good? Is Von Miller going to get anything done? And there's a bunch of random receivers over there. The Bills have a bunch of, like, journeyman wide receivers right now. Like, KJ Hamler out of Penn State, he never really stuck anywhere. Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State, who played for the Panthers, the Commanders. And don't forget, they have two top 16 ranked NFL tight ends. Well, at least this ranking that I saw from Madden today. Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are two of the best tight ends, and they're a tandem. So I don't think the Bills are going to have any drop-off. I think the Bills are still going to be right there. What else did I have in my notes from the NFL? The miserable Dallas Cowboys. I think they're entertaining signing Carl Lawson, former Jet. Carl Lawson tweeted out a star today. He's been working out with the Dallas Cowboys because the Dallas Cowboys need some help. They just lost Sam Williams to an ACL tear. End of season. They also have CeeDee Lamb holding out. DJ Moore just got paid. So it's another receiver getting paid while CeeDee Lamb's like, run me my money. Dak Prescott is on an expiring deal. Can't lose your quarterback, right? You just heard John Mara talk about, yeah, I'm glad we gave Daniel Jones that contract. You know why? Because he's looking at what Tua got paid. He's looking at what Jordan Love got paid. He didn't pay that much for him. And they have an out after this year that won't cost them half as much. 888-808-1019. I'll keep mixing in some football news, notes, and conversation. When we talk about over and unders, like I'm not ready to put my win total on record for the Jets and the Giants. I'll put my win total on record for the Dallas Cowboys. No more than 10 wins. I don't see them winning more than 10 games. And I think they lose that first game to the Cleveland Browns. I just think they're going to be a mess. I think there's just too much in flux. They have a head coach on the last year of his contract, a quarterback on the last year of his contract, CeeDee Lamb actively holding out. They had the audacity to bring back Ezekiel Elliott. Micah Parsons wants to get paid too. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man?
Hanging out, watching this Hall of Fame game. Still a lot of points, 17-14. I'm not really feeling the kickoff yet, but it is what it is. I understand the change.
I saw it. It looks goofy as hell. Well, speaking of the total, I had the under, albeit flipped, but still, I mean, Jesus, we didn't get through the second, the first half. Right?
Ross, you're not old enough to be placing bets, brother. You're not.
I got that fake flip currency, you know. And it does the job for me. I put like a little $15 on it, but either way. I know you're talking about over-under something else. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, but I pulled the odds on Vegas Insider. They got my Vikings at 7.5, and I don't try to be a shill, but I think we're getting disrespected as hell, man. You compare it to, I think, Detroit's at like 9.5. They might even be at 10.5, I think. They're right there like Buffalo, Cincinnati. So I don't know, man. So
Games with Josh Dobbs last year. I think Sam Darnold is getting all the disrespect. Justin Jefferson is back. Just him being back alone, they're going to be able to score some points. They're not going to have another one of those games against the Raiders. It was a 3-0 game.
Dude, honest to God, when I tell you, me and my father's a Raider fan, we were so close to flying out for that game.
Oh, it would have been a waste of time and money.
Vegas. I mean, thank God, if there's one city that maybe couldn't be a waste of time, maybe it would be Vegas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, dude, flying across the country for a total of 3 points, I mean, oh, my God, man. You can't make some stuff up like that. But, all in all, man, it's good to see some football back on the TV, albeit, a bunch of backups. I know one thing is I just caught a touchdown for the Bears. Tommy Sweeney went to Don Bosco, if you might remember, a year ago, prior to the Tommy DeVito story in the regular season. There was a whole buzz about him in the preseason, DeVito to Sweeney, the whole Bosco connection.
Yep.
Here in Jersey. So he's with the
Catching
Bears.
Catching on with the
just
Bears.
Caught a touchdown. Yeah, so, you see that. But just overall, good seeing Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the TV. And I heard you bring up those Baltimore Orioles, too, trying to, pivot to baseball real quick. I saw a stat online, Adley Rutschman. You want to talk about these young up-and-coming Orioles, the make-it-happen-ohs, the feel-good story, kind of like the Lions of the MLB. You got Adley Rutschman behind the plate. I just saw since July 1st, he's batting 126. You don't hear a peep about that because everybody and their mother's Oriole fans all of a sudden. Honest to God, dude.
Yeah, they already crowned him as the greatest thing ever, right? Like, since he burst on the scene, he was the change with the Orioles. He's already just...
He was the next Johnny Bench. I mean, listen, Gunnar Henderson's a solid player. He's kind of a lost cause. But you talk about him, Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, basically the wannabe frat party there over in Baltimore. You had Jackson Holliday. It was like 2-for-50 before he hit that grand slam yesterday. And you don't hear a peep about them when things are going bad. You didn't hear a peep about them. When every two
they
games the Yankees lost,
none.
They lost the game
they don't
of their
scare
own.
Me.
They, how about last year? They don't. You know what? They prepped or last year on the big stage. And I know Texas, albeit wound up being going on to win the whole damn thing. They didn't win one postseason game. Everybody talking about they didn't get swept all year. They got swept last year. It was when it mattered most. They're not built for the big lights yet.
Ross,
I don't think anybody talks about it.
I talk about it. They didn't go get Tarek Skubal. They didn't go out and get Jack Flaherty. They went and got Trevor Rogers. He went 4 1/3, gave up 6 hits, 5 runs tonight.
And they gave up Stowers and Norby, who in their system were like 19 and 20, but would have been top 10 prospects in any other system. They overpaid the hell out of him, and was it Eflin, I think they gave up a hefty price for, too.
Yep.
And they're going for it. You know, you brought them go for school and go up for Crochet. And listen, Corbin Burns, a pending free agent, who knows if they're keeping him. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Santi Aldear's leaving, and I'd love him with the Mets. If you want to talk about him being one of the more underrated names in the league.
He's a dog,
but I don't know, man. The three teams coming off
new ownership. Build a ballpark, new dimensions, Birdland, and Mr. Splash.
Right. There were three teams last year that made the playoffs coming off 100 lost seasons. Two of them made the World Series. The one that didn't was the Baltimore Orioles. So I don't want to hear it, man. All we got so far on record with them is regular season success, and so far they're pretty much free-falling as much as the Yankees are. And, you know, not to knock, you know, knock.
They're about to lose first place, and they're not going to regain it. The Yankees have a 9-game home
streak. They're back on a roll a little bit.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. And they're, you know, first game against Cleveland, who, like you said, they're kind of a, wouldn't say they're a dark horse to think they're getting their well-deserved player, but kind of another small market team. They got some names like, you know, Josh Naylor. Now, you ask the average MLB fan, they probably don't know who he is. He's probably the AL's Pete Alonso. Obviously, J-Ram, guys like that, they got a hell of a lot. They had a solid deadline, too, bringing Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas is from Washington. Yeah, they got a great
good night tonight.
Watch out for Cleveland. Yeah, man. So, you know, listen, you got Danny Ailey and just overall, man. We got a couple more months, but all in all, just to cap the call off, good to see some football on the TV, and I'll let you get back to some of the other calls. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I mean, there was a point in this season where I got on air and I said the Orioles are a better team than the Yankees, because early on in the season, the Yankees couldn't get with them. You know, they just couldn't rock with them. It was just clear that the Orioles were playing a better brand of baseball, but things change. And the Yankees should have absolutely swept them. You know, Clay Holmes walking guys. Volpe boots the ball, freezes up, Verdugo falls. We all know what happened. But I think the next time the Yankees face the Orioles is at the end of September. Yes, at home, September 24th, 25th, 26th. And I honestly think by then it could be wraps. Like, the Yankees have an opportunity with a weak schedule before then to take first place back and give themselves some room where we won't even be worried about that head-to-head. I just there's a ton of hype around the Orioles. Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and all these other guys that they have, they went for it again. They added Eloy Jimenez, Zach Eflin, Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers got rocked tonight. They got to show me, man. They got to show me. They're nothing until they actually become something, right? They won 101 games last year. So what? They got swept. They got swept in the postseason. And with as bad as the Yankees have been over the last month and a half, 2 months, what did they do? They should be up 5 games on the Yankees. At least. They struggled as well. So it's time. It is time. Ralph is in Waterbury, Connecticut. Ralph, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith? Thanks for taking my call. How you doing tonight?
Good, good. Thanks for making the call.
Yeah, hey, that was a great interview on that with that Giants broadcaster, man. I really appreciated that.
Thanks.
You know, that was great. I can't wait for the start of the season. The reason for my call, Keith, you know, you talked a little bit about that diversity, being a diversity hire last night. And that kind of sat with me today, and I just wanted to call you up and say, dude, you earned every nickel of that, man. You are a great broadcast. Just stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see you go to the top, dude.
I know that I wasn't a diversity hire, and I know that I work hard and I earned it and I'm good at this, but I just like to throw it out there for the negatives and the naysayers that are like, this guy sucks. He's only there because he's black. I'm like, come on, bro. is that
no,
it?
Man, there'd be, not...
like, is it that simple?
Yeah, no, hell no.
Nah.
If they look back at what you've been through, man, it's got nothing to do with black.
Right.
It's hustle. Hustle. And it's hard times. And it's getting to the top because you know you could.
Yeah, it's work.
Dude,
It's just working and grinding.
I took a deep dive into your background, dude. You did a great job. And you got nothing in front of you but the best, man.
Thank you, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
How's your boy doing, all right?
Yeah, he's amazing. Actually, my wife texted him when I got here, and she's like, he pooped in the tub. And I was like, one. That's the first time that he did that. I'm glad it was just you dealing with that. And we just moved.
There you go.
We just moved. He's got his own bathroom. Him and I used to share a bathroom in a tub, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not coming home tonight to shower in that poopy tub.
All right. Good for you, man. Hey, God bless you, my friend. I love listening to your show. I drive an hour to work, an hour home from work every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you every night, man. And I really appreciate you, dude.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. 888-808-1019. Yeah, so if you were listening last night, you know, I throw some little things in there. And we got a call where someone was like, you know, I looked up your background, man. Like, crazy you were in the MLB fan cave. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not really that crazy. Like, I'm blessed that I've had opportunities, but I've made my own luck. And I've put in the work. And, like, I'm telling you, there was 100 times where I didn't think that this was possible. There were 100 times where I was down in the dumps. Even when I quit my social media job to chase this career, there were times in between that stretch where I'm like, I've made a terrible mistake. I can't go back to my old job, and I'm not going to get a new job doing what I want to do. But through the grace of God and hard work and making connections and networking and treating people right, and, like, you know, that's what I talked about last week. Obviously, some negative things happened, and I made a mistake, and I apologized it, but I just saw people trying to slander my name and cancel me, and I'm like, nah, never. You're never gonna get that, because, like, I have too much good already out there. There are too many people that already know who I am, what type of person I am. So it's funny. Like, it's you reach new levels, there's new devils, and you can have 1,000 highlights, and people are waiting for one low light. But I got 1,000 more highlights to give, and I know how I make people feel, and I know what I do. Like, I don't take any of this for granted. This is a dream opportunity. I come in here prepared. I come in here with notes and ideas and things, and I'm trying to entertain, and I'm trying to engage, and I'm trying to make people feel something. And I thank callers like Ralph for calling in and saying that. And, you know, the radio is the most intimate platform. Yes, it's been with us for all of these decades. I really feel like it's not going anywhere. We're in August now. The other sports radio station will no longer exist on the FM dial at the end of this month. WFAN 101.9 FM will still be here. I'll still be here. And I know there's many of people that would, at least on internet, that would love to see me gone, that would love to see me out of here for whatever reasons. And it's just not that simple, bro. So I'm here to entertain. I'm here to take your calls. I'm here to connect. I'm here to talk sports and pass this time every single night while you're either at home relaxing or in your car driving or working like I'm working. I'm here for you. 888-808-1019. We've got 2 hours left. We're going to keep talking football movies, talking football, watching the rest of this Hall of Fame football game. And, of course, I'll take your baseball calls. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.